Okay, my name is Isabel Alonso, and today we will be talking about a 2002 case that is really interesting and really crazy. So anyway, there was a woman named Michelle Knight. Her birthday was April of 1981, but so Michelle Knight was actually severely bullied in high school, and she dropped out of high school after getting pregnant, but she unfortunately lost the child to protective services. Michelle had developmental disorders, and so one night in August of 2002, she was walking to her cousin's house when her friend's dad offered a ride. He was like, I have some puppies. We got a new puppy. My daughter's at home. She wants to hang out, so do you want to come over? I'll give you a ride. She said, sure. She got in the car, went home, but immediately when she got into the house, she got restrained. She was tortured and repeatedly got sexually assaulted, and she actually got pregnant 5 times, but she lost all of them to miscarriages. So after being missing for an entire year, her family just took her off the missing persons list. They gave up. They thought that she just ran away because it was just like her. So then almost exactly a year later, Ariel Castro, which was the attacker, decided to take another woman. So this woman would be Amanda Berry. Amanda Berry was super sweet. Everybody loved her. She worked at a Burger King. So this was April 21st of 2003, and Michelle Knight was taken in April of 2002. Anyway, so her birthday was the next day. She worked at a Burger King. I don't know if I already said that. But she was walking home from work, even though she almost didn't take that shift because her birthday was the next day, as I said. But she was walking down the street, and she was taken off of the exact same street that Michelle was, Lorraine Avenue. So she knew one of his daughters, just like Michelle, lured her in for a ride to hang out with his daughter. And then when they arrived at the house, he actually pushed her and locked her into a closet. Then he assaulted her and chained her to a radiator. So she only had 5 feet of chains for years. It's just terrible. And that's how she lived, you know, same torture, basically, sexually assaulted. It was bad. So a year later, Ariel Castro was still not satisfied. So when he saw another woman, Gina De Jesus, so this was about another year later, April 2nd of 2004. So Gina De Jesus was at a payphone asking a friend for a sleepover, but they were kind of arguing, but then the friend's mom said no, they hung up. Gina started walking home. Ariel took her because, again, she knew his daughter and brought her to his house as well. And the girls, three girls, they just lived as prisoners. It was really sad, but they were all taken just like that, and nobody could figure out why. Ariel Castro always had the radio on extremely loud, and the neighbors just thought he was really into music. I mean, they were kind of annoyed, but didn't think anything of it. So the girls were all motivated by their family not giving up. I mean, except for Michelle. But okay, so in 2005, a year later, after the third girl, Ariel's wife Romilda died, and they found out that she was severely abused too, and not just his wife and three kidnappees. He would also abuse his children. He kicked them, broke their teeth. It was the whole everything. I don't know. So the girls were allowed to watch TV sometimes, and they even saw themselves on America's Most Wanted, which, just imagine that. You're watching yourself, and everybody's looking for you, and they're like, we really want to find you, and you just can't do anything. That's really sad. But the police did know that Amanda and Gina disappeared in similar circumstances, so I mean, that's good, I guess, for a lead. So after this, after a little while, Sylvia Brown was a famous psychic. So she had her own show. Again, the girls were allowed to watch TV sometimes. So Amanda Barry was watching TV. It was Sylvia Brown's show, where she would predict things about people. So Amanda Barry's mom actually went on the show, which was pretty cool because Amanda and her mom always talked about it before she was taken. And the psychic, while Amanda watched, said, "Oh no, sorry, your daughter is dead. Amanda's gone. She's not with us anymore. I'm so sorry." While she watched, and she watched her own mother cry about her quote-unquote dead, you know, daughter. It's, wow. But the worst part of it is that Amanda's mom got sick from appendicitis and actually died while she was still in captivity, so she never got to see her daughter again. So, you know, after when Amanda was finally 20, she got pregnant, but she was actually really surprisingly excited. The child was still going to be born into captivity. So Amanda gave birth in Ariel Castro's tub. Ariel just gave the baby only socks to wear. That's it, basically, as a newborn. And then she grew up, got some new clothes. But Amanda gave her baby, named Jocelyn, a quote-unquote normal life because she made their room into a classroom, and Amanda started teaching her things and raised her like a normal kid. They would play pretend that they went outside, and sometimes Jocelyn did go outside with Ariel's supervision just in the yard, and that's basically it. She didn't go to school. But Amanda was still in chains as they did this. So on May 6th, 2013, this is, it was 11 years after the kidnapping started. 11 years. Jocelyn asked, "So where's Daddy's car?" This means that he wasn't in the house and they could maybe escape. So Amanda really wanted to break out of the house, but a lot of the other girls were way too scared. But Amanda eventually got to the front door, but it was locked both ways. She couldn't get out, nobody could get in. But she started to push and scream and pound against the door, and thank God somebody was walking by right when she was doing that. I mean, what luck is that? So anyway, he was eating McDonald's, he heard screaming, and then he opens the door. He kicks down the door because the girl was saying how she's been trapped in there a very long time. So he just saw and thought that it was a domestic violence thing because, you know, the woman came out with a little girl. So she says, "Call 911. My name is Amanda Barry." And the guy was like, "Oh, I thought you were dead," because he probably watched TV too. And she said that, "No, I'm not dead. You really need to call 911. So here's the 911 call.
Amanda Barry.
You need police, fire, or ambulance?
I'm the police.
Okay, yeah, what's going on there?
I've been kidnapped and I've been missing for 10 years and I'm here. I'm fine now.
Okay, yeah, what's your address?
2207 Seymour Avenue.
2207 Seymour. It looks like you called me from 2210.
The guy was just saying how he ate ribs with this dude. He had absolutely no idea that this guy, Ariel Castro, was capable of this. So that means that none of the neighbors just didn't know. He never let it on. He was never weird with other people. The police eventually rescued the other woman. Everybody cheered. It got on national news. It was just a happy, happy time. So they were in captivity for 11 whole years. That's absolutely terrible, but Amanda Barry actually taught her daughter Jocelyn so well that when she started school, she actually read a level ahead, so Jocelyn, you know, that's pretty cool. So when Ariel Castro went to trial, he got 977 counts of kidnapping, 500 counts of rape, 3 counts of child endangerment, 2 counts of aggravated murder, 1 count of possessing criminal tools. So basically, he was screwed for sure. He was not going to get out. And then Ariel Castro kept saying how, "I'm sick, I'm not a monster," as if that excuses anything. And he revealed that he even had alarms on doors if somebody escaped. He would pit the girls against each other, like not feed one because of this other one, make them jealous. But he was sentenced to life in prison plus 1,000 years, no matter what. He was, again, not getting out. But the sad thing was that Ariel Castro actually hanged himself in the cell, which gets me so mad, with a bed sheet, so he didn't even have to suffer for that long. And that's the end of it. The girls all wrote books. They all do interviews, and they help other missing persons, and they're all pretty successful now. But it was a really bad story, but thank God that, you know, they eventually got out. So that's the entire story of everything.